podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Pogba, Maguire and Shaw have been training this week.
Yeah.
We've got one more game before the season starts, and we've got Everton tomorrow. We know what happened last season. We didn't have a pre-season. We started off slowly. How worried are you, Baggers, I'll start with you, about the fact that we've got one or two players who aren't ready, or one or two players who haven't had much training pre-season, and we may be going into the Leeds game a week from now not as ready as we should be? And as always, get involved in the comments, let us know what you think, and hit the like button.
A little bit worried, but if you think of the team we were putting out at the start of last season, how many games they played, and it was pretty poor, you know, to be honest, at times. Whereas now, it's probably our first strength from last season that's probably going to be starting this season. I think that's still a pretty good team. You know, still got a lot of good players in there. I think we're more worried about midfield than I think Ollie is. I think he's happier with Fred McTominay than we like to all think. I think he's happy to start that. Maybe even Matic is going to play a few more games.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's worried in that sense. I said my worry a little bit is at centre-half, because I think you've had Maguire back in training. I don't think there's a worry with him. He's going to play and be fine.
Yeah.
Eric Bailly's been away at the Olympics. He's going to be away for a time. Doesn't look like Twan Zabe's going to be there for the start of the season. He looks like he's moving on. And Lindelof, I've not seen Lindelof training yet. I don't know whether he's back fit and he's playing yet. If you're missing one of them, if you are starting Twan Zabe, who, you know, is looking to probably be out the door very shortly, I think that's your big worry. I think Varane's the one that you wanted to be starting straight away. I'm not too worried about Sancho. If, you know, if he's on the bench for the Leeds game coming on, you can still put out a front three of maybe Pogba on the left, Martial and Mason Greenwood, which isn't a bad front three.
Yeah,
I'm not too worried about that, but I am worried about centre-half. If there's one of them not playing, if you've got Maguire alongside of Twan Zabe, I think I am a little bit worried for the start of the season.
Abdullah, one player who at the moment looks like he's going to be the start of the season, I know we're going to get into it a little bit more detail later on, is Paul Pogba. Yeah. Feels like ever since me and you've been chatting on this channel, which has been for a few years now, we're talking about Pogba and whether he's going to stay or not.
Yeah.
And I think at one point we've both been adamant he's staying. There's other times when we've disagreed. There's other times when we've agreed he's definitely going. What do you reckon now? I mean, Bahasi, I think, was on Romano's channel saying that the PSG interest is real and there's a Paul Pogba. I mean, it's almost like a nothing statement. And I'm not having to think at Bahasi because he's dealing with the facts that he's got. And they are the facts is that Pogba, he's open to going to PSG. PSG want him, but Pogba likes Ollie and respects Ollie. So where do you see this going to?
I feel like with Pogba, and it's always been like that, a lot of it is just like giving that control to his agent, like Raiola. And we've seen that previously with other players like De Ligt at Juventus. And like, I'm not sure how much the level of control Pogba, he'll obviously have like the final say with like moving and staying and whatnot. And like Raiola said that in the past, but I feel there is some sort of thing where Raiola will try to get a deal. Obviously, he's moved Donnarumma over to PSG as well. So he's already got that connection with the club. He's had fallouts with people in and around United, like club legends and whatnot. So obviously, it's not been a smooth sort of few years for Pogba. He's had good periods, but has had bad periods at the club. Inconsistencies. I think when he's done well at times, he's not, you know, sort of got his flowers by people. So I think in terms of what we expect to happen this window, I don't see him moving. I think United will just try and nail down Pogba with a big contract because they'll struggle to sign a midfielder. There were some reports earlier, like reading about potentially a third signing coming in, a significant one, and there was the Camavinga stuff coming out. So, you know, maybe if Camavinga comes in, then United could just let Pogba go towards the end of the window. I can't see them letting him go for under 50 million. That's the thing. And that's what makes me think that they'll just wait, keep him for a year and let him go for free and try within that year, you know, have a successful season where they can convince Pogba to stay long term, where he's happy for the year. And I think that's where United are going. I think they're going to take that gamble because they don't see the selling him after you've signed Varane, you've signed Sancho and you've stacked up and you're almost ready to go out on all fronts and challenge. It's not a good time to sell a player of that quality. So I think that's the way United are looking at it.
There's comments here in the chat. I'm just going to find it, Baggers, before I just get your thoughts on it. Someone's saying about Raiola. Forgive me if you're the person who's commented because it just disappeared on the screen. But you were saying, Oliver Edwards is commenting and he said, Romano and Bahasi both said Raiola would like the commissions from a free transfer.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I'm asking this now is because this ties into the start of the season. If you go into this season, you go into the Leeds game, with still this sort of question mark about Paul Pogba, do you think that has a negative effect as well? Or do you think the players and Pogba himself can just put that to one side?
I think Ollie's dealt with it well, as in the sense that he said, look, Pogba's a professional with it all and has done all this. I think that's never been a worry for Paul Pogba. I think you've always seen 100% from him. I think there was a time under Mourinho when things weren't quite right, but I think that was, you could see that by him getting dropped, by him not being playing, and just that was more a Mourinho thing than it was Paul Pogba not putting 100% in. I think whatever happens, Paul Pogba will do a job for United. And I think also Ollie kind of accepts that that's the situation he's in with Paul Pogba. And I think that a year ago when we were talking about the £100 million, and even they had the chance of selling a player for £100 million then, you could do that. You could sell Paul Pogba and get money back. And you were talking about, let's reinvest that. £50 million, yes, we could potentially reinvest that this summer, but it's not the be-all end-all of our transfer business. It's not it's not like, it was talked about before as like Coutinho, when Coutinho left Liverpool, you needed that big money to go in and buy two players. Paul Pogba going for £50 million doesn't really change who we get in. It doesn't mean we're going to get Camavinga. We're still not going to, it doesn't guarantee it. I think we've still got,
I think literally we do need to sell to buy now.
But I think that.
So even if it is only 50 million, that could be the 50 million that brings in.
But could that be Lingard and Pereira that go? And then you've got a better player in Paul Pogba and Sal Niguez still. I think that could be a possibility. And I still think that's where United
I agree what you're saying.
I believe we don't sign any of those like major midfielders. I'm going to say major, like your Ruben Neves and Saul and Camavinga, the three that were mentioned.
Yeah.
Unless personally, I feel like the club we're looking at, unless we sell £50 million Paul Pogba, we don't get one of those three. I don't see them as an addition in the current state of like where we're going in the market. That's my opinion. I feel like the club are operating like that. If we sell like Lingard, Andres Pereira, don't think that gets us over the line to get a decent enough midfielder to make a difference. Maybe get Trippier out of them two going. But
do you think you'd have to have a bit of if you don't sell Pogba, do you think you need like a bit of a clear out? Like you have to go Pereira, Dalot,
I think
Lingard, maybe... People are going to laugh here, but there's even talk of Phil Jones just getting him off the wage bill.
I think
going to West Ham.
He's stuck in it.
I'm not saying you're going to get much money for him, but if you get him off the wage bill,
I doubt anyone would take him for free because of his wages. Yeah.
There was a rumour that maybe West Ham were in for him, but certainly if you look at Pereira, Dalot, and Lingard, those three, can you maybe get 45 million?
I reckon you could.
You could, yeah.
And that is your Neves money.
Yeah.
Or your Niguez money, or your Camavinga money.
I think there's a possibility for that. I think that could still happen. Paul Pogba thing. I think the other thing we've got to mention, the things that this Messi thing throws the Pogba thing right up in the air as well. Because I think the Pogba signing for PSG was icing on the cake kind of thing. They've done their business. They wanted Wijnaldum, done. They got Ramos in.
Ramos,
they've got Hakimi. They've got Donnarumma. They've got the squad they need.
Mad summer, isn't it?
The next signing for them is, we've got a bit of cash left here, lads. Who can we get here? Yeah. And Paul Pogba, that's a great name for them. Does well. But Messi for them is just on another level. And if they can get Messi over the line, they're not signing both. They're not doing both.
They've said that they won't even get Messi, from the things I read last night, they wouldn't even get Messi without having to shuffle some things about.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, someone at GT in the comments makes a good point here. What about the money from Lukaku? There's potentially, and there's lots of ifs and buts. There's lots of ifs and buts with any transfer, especially the ones we're talking about. But if Lukaku were to go to Chelsea, or was to go to Chelsea for 100 odd million, United would get 35, 40 million out of that because of the sell-on clause we put in.
I think we're already owed the money, but I think that's already spent.
Oh, is that
spent.
Already money owed?
I think that's already spent on Maguire. Probably paid off Maguire somehow.
There's the money that they owed us from the transfer and then the sell-on.
I think there was 10 million for the sell-on, so you get that in.
They're paying like in sort of like installments or something like that.
And like a Wonga loan.
They've still got and apparently £48 million.
We'd take the steady old.
So we could just take Lukaku away from them, basically, can't we?
There's all this sort of shenanigans going on in there. Like, if Lukaku goes, do we get any money from that? Can we get someone off the wage bill? Can we bring in this player? Can we get this player? Is there a part of either of you two that would just rather, if it comes to it, we kept Pogba and we kept Lingard, or do you want to see Lingard go, or do you want to see Pogba go, or how do you want to see it work out?
The way I look at this team, there's a couple of players where I've just not been massively convinced by over the last couple of seasons in terms of making a difference at the club. But we've had a few of the players that we mentioned, like Jesse Lingard, Paul Pogba, they have had good patches, some more than others. Again, like Anthony Martial was one that was a few fans would have said they wouldn't have mind let go, and those reports here and there, not too many. I feel like with any of those type of players where they've had good times at United, you know, they've had decent runs of form and whatnot, you want to stack the as much quality as you can when you're going into for a title charge, when you're going for the Champions League. I know not many fans agree with that, and obviously, but I just feel like when you look to the bench, when you look at the squad as a whole, when we looked at Man City last season, the way they challenged, like, you can't, obviously we're not going to touch those levels, but then when you move 2-3 of those players, that, and even if you sign one more, you're just going backwards in a way.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's players that have done well, and with the good environment and the way we're going in next season, I think Jesse Lingard would be suited to go to West Ham, because he's going to play, he's more for me a player who just needs that consistent game time, and he flourishes in an open game where he's good in transition and whatnot. And I think for his career, somewhere like West Ham would have been a better move, but it looks like United might keep him. But if they keep him, I'm happy with that. I just think you just need to keep as much quality as you can. And as for Paul Pogba, like we discussed it earlier, it's just, you know, United, you'd have to sign a couple of midfielders basically to replace him. So it's a bit too late in the window to assess that.
There's a talk today as well about the way that to get Paul Pogba into this team alongside Bruno, I think you need to have Rice is the fit in it, or someone like Rice or Ndidi or someone like that.
Yeah.
But we're not going to buy that player this summer. Yeah, I think that's done. We've done our big signings this summer. And I think the other signings that have been mentioned, you mentioned Neves, Camavinga and all that, probably fit more into sticking to the situation we've got now, playing 4-2-3-1. Yeah. I still think if you sign Niguez, I still don't think you start Niguez, Paul Pogba and Bruno as a three. I think you play McTominay, Niguez and Pogba on the left for a bit. You know,
no, I agree.
I think there's more likely to happen. Yeah. So I think that if you keep Paul Pogba, you've got to look at next season signing that number six that's going to do that job. I wouldn't, if Paul Pogba goes, I don't think you straight replace him. I think you stick to what we've been doing, the 4-2-3-1. Yeah. You play him, you just upgrade on Fred. That's the thing that you do. You upgrade Fred, you upgrade McTominay, which is more workmanlike, but I've got a bit more quality. That's where I think you go with that. Instead of trying to, I think people are obsessed with us playing a single pivot and doing all this stuff. If 4-2-3 has not been bad, the problem's been we've had some poor players doing it.
It's just that lack of like flexibility week in, week out. Where in game, there's games where I've watched, I'm like, if you switch to having that holding midfielder, and we've seen that when Matic has like come on sometimes, and you can just push Bruno and Pogba's or Van de Beek or whatever in those number eight areas, and you overload teams. And I think that's when I feel like we should be going. But I think we've been more suited to, like you said, this 4-2-3-1. And if you bring a Camavinga in, instantly for me, slots like next maybe McTominay. There's still the thing is, with a lot of the players that we've currently got, there's still levels that they can reach. Yeah, I know fans dig some players out. We've seen Jordan Henderson at Liverpool the first few seasons, like people used to take the piss out of him and everything. Like Liverpool fans, a big chunk of Liverpool fans didn't like him. Ended up captaining them to a Champions League. Like, again, like McTominay's still got a few years ahead of him to build that profile as a midfielder, like maybe as a sitting deep, maybe advancing forward. Like, there's still a lot of players in this team that are still young and relatively young, and they can still build themselves. But for me, United just need to operate better in the market, in the sense of, is Paul Pogba staying? Is he not? If not, find a buyer quickly, agree a deal with PSG, and then go and sign those players. I think it's too late right now.
The way this has been handled, the way it's been allowed to get to the final year, and we still don't know, is shambolic. And it's still left to the manager almost to try and convince him. Other clubs don't do that. And it really annoys me that we know with Paul Pogba, and this isn't a criticism of him, this is just the facts. We got him from Le Havre when he was a kid. Yeah, they were unhappy about that when we got him when he was 16, because they put a lot of time and effort into sort of, you know, grooming him, for want of a better word, into this, or building him up into a youngster that he became. We bring him in, not got any affiliation or loyalty to United. He's there for a couple of years, with us for a couple of years, then the talk of him moving on, we want him to stay. He doesn't, he moves on to Juve. Okay, fair enough, it's his prerogative. You can argue that he was right to do that in terms of the medals he won and the game time he got, which he probably wouldn't have got if he'd have stayed. Certainly not straight away anyway, he would have had to wait a little bit. We bring him back for $89 million. So we know we've had a player here who's, okay, Le Havre doesn't really count because it's when he was a kid, that's unfair. But he's already left Old Trafford once. Mm-hmm. So there's every reason to think he'll do it again. So you have to have a system in place where, or a plan where you go, all right, if he's not going to stay out for the rest of full his contract, we need to make sure we move him on and get money in for him so we can bring someone in. What you don't want to do, and what we've exactly what we've allowed to happen, is you're going into the last 10 months of his contract. We don't know if he's going to stay. We don't know if he's going to go. We're leaving it now until the point where if he does stay, he could sign a pre-contract agreement, I think, in January. So he's already like half out the door. And if he goes, we're leaving ourselves a very limited amount of time to get that money in and get someone else in. It just seems a little bit shambolic. Just in the Super Chats, Christian Shea says, if it's possible, would you go for a DM signing this season? If United could get Goretzka on a free next season? Abdullah, I'll ask you, Goretzka.
I think Goretzka, before he moved to Bayern Munich, was one of the midfielders that I would have liked to have at Manchester United. I think we were just going into the market to up our quality in that part of the pitch. I think that the stage of his career, he sort of developed himself a bit more in deeper roles, but also, you know, we can still do a lot going forward. We've seen that in the Champions League, him and Thiago, you know, when Bayern Munich won the Champions League, playing together, and when it was Kimmich as well. So I think he's a player that he can bring in and play various roles in that midfield, and he'll be experienced. But is that 31, maybe 30?
Who, sorry?
How old's Goretzka now?
Oh, right, sorry.
Because I'm actually quite interested in, like, how many seasons he'd be able to get out.
I think he's 27.
Could be wrong.
Until he's 28.
26. Yeah. He's 26. Yeah. And you're getting, honestly, I thought he was like, for him to be going.
I thought that's
three,
why you threw me when you said 31. Yeah. I thought you still talking about Goretzka. I thought you were talking about someone else then.
I thought he'd be like pushing 30 now with the fact that he'd be able to get him for free next season. So
this stinks of contracts at Bayern Munich.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It all sounds like Sergio Ramos at Real Madrid, and he's going to get his big bonus.
Bayern Munich cannot let a 26-year-old key midfielder go.
Just on as well, don't forget, check out the merchandise. Yeah, you see that your man there, Alex Bagley's wearing some of the merch we've got available. It's a pinned
new
comment.
Stuff.
Got some new stuff out there. Some new designs for the new season, all your favourite players and all your favourite paddock stuff. So go and check that out as well. And also, while I'm in that vein, give us a subscribe if you're not doing. Let's get us to 600,000 subscribers. I've just put a link in the chat earlier if you can bother scrolling up. So hit the subscribe button as well. And give us a like. There you go. I've done all my plug-in. Just looking at it, right, the reason that we're sort of talking about this and we're getting a little bit antsy, we spoke about at the beginning of last season. You look at last season, now, the first game against Crystal Palace, we were at the races, we lost at home to Palace 3-1. Then we went away, we won at Brighton with the goal after full time, but it wasn't a good performance. Brighton hit the woodwork five times. They should have won. Now listen, a win's a win, but it wasn't great, and you can still, United was still very rusty. Then we got absolutely battered 6-1 off Spurs. The way that City have gone about their business, bringing in Jack Grealish, and also the fact that the Scousers have had a few pre-season games, they haven't looked great, but they're getting games under the belt, they're getting players back. Chelsea are obviously buoyed by the fact they won the Champions League. Can we afford to start slowly again this season? Or is this going to be one of those seasons where if you've got any title challenging aspirations, you have to get out of the blocks straight away?
I think you do, but I think the only... Probably the only good thing about it is there's a lot of Premier League teams that have strengthened, and whilst City are going to look good, Chelsea look good, we look good, I think you'll have a lot more. Villa are going to look good, even without Jack Grealish. Villa are going to be good next year. Leicester are going to be good. I don't think you go have a, you know, you don't have a season. I don't think it's a 100-point season, because I think the Premier League's just better again. I think the standard this season across the board looks better. That top 10 teams all look a bit better. Arsenal aren't very good, but the rest of the teams all look pretty good. I don't think you get that. So you could probably drop points here and there. But if you have a slow start, especially when we've not got the hardest start, I wouldn't say Leeds is a tough game, but it's not the most difficult start. We've had the first six games. We're not playing any of the top teams. You have to start well.
As mad as it sounds, I think Leeds is like a decent first like challenge.
Yeah.
Probably definitely. One of the toughest challenges you can get. Like, the energy that they're going to play with. I think we spoke about this last week. Like, Bamford's not, obviously didn't go with England. I mean, Calvin Phillips coming off a high after having like a decent, you know, Euros with England. So you're going to have a serious challenge on your hands, I think, against Leeds. It's always going to be a big game. It means a lot to both sets of fans, especially them lot. Like, we're going into the seasons with like 3-4 rival teams, like direct rivals.
You know what?
So you're going to have to get ready to face those teams.
I missed the games against Leeds. I was gutted that we couldn't be there for the 6-2, especially with the result. That was amazing, mate. That was one of the best games in recent memory. can't stand Leeds, and to beat them the way we did was fantastic. But it just worries me, especially like say it was a game against our rivals, and you know that Bielsa's going to be sort of well prepared for that one, as he showed with the game at Elland Road. He learned anything from the 6-2.
I don't think he does that again, though. Yeah. I think he does.
He sort of managed to keep us at bay. Jacob O.C., welcome to the academy. Thanks for all your support. I know it's not necessarily United related, but we'll talk about it because it is a massive talking point. Lionel Messi. I say it's not United related because he's not coming to Old Trafford. So let's just we can get that out of the bag straight away, unless he's visiting. isn't staying at Barcelona, which is weird because he's like been there forever. Just first of all, Abdullah, what do you think that says about Spanish football in a minute? Because it seems to be in a bit of a weird phase where you've got the likes of Sergio Ramos, who, you know, was Mr. Real Madrid for so long. You've got Varane, obviously, we've taken advantage of and got over here. Then you've got Lionel Messi, who's going. Barcelona have had to sort of alter the offer they made to Memphis Depay because they're in this financial pickle. There's still this Super League thing going on where like the likes of Florentino Perez thinks it's going to, you know, save him.
Save him,
but help him. I think Real Madrid still have money, but not to the extent they used to. Barca are in all sorts of trouble. What do you think this says about Spanish football? Do you think this could be the end of an era almost with Spanish football, in the sense that it's no longer the powerhouse in Europe it was? Or do you think we're just getting, you know, it's just a bit of a blip?
I think it's been a gradual thing with like La Liga in general. I think you had your Neymar leaving, Ronaldo. You've had that slowly, you know, the league just falling apart. I think what we've seen is the top three, Atletico, Barca and Madrid, they've all competed against each other over the last couple of seasons. They've all picked up league titles. But they've done it in like really weird styles where it's just no one's like actually gone out there and absolutely smashed the league apart and just been like comfortably the best team. They've all like whoever's at the top kept losing, then winning. Then it's just been like really weird watching it. And none of them really established themselves in European football, get into like the Champions League finals. And that, like I say, we see them always do well in Europe. In Europa League, sorry. Like Spanish
well, we know better than that. Any team in England, we know that one. Yep. So it's not all doom and gloom for Spanish football before anyone starts throwing.
We've given them the last bit.
Sevilla's and Villarreal's at me. But
I think that's it for them. And I think one of the biggest things is the Premier League. Like, it's really taken over. I don't know how they compete financially, because it feels like they're these big teams that are just trying to cling on to staying at that top level where they're competing with your Bayern Munichs and then the big English sides and your PSGs and whatnot. And I just think they've not got that financial capability to do that. And we're seeing that because I think if Madrid had that money like they've done in the past, Mbappe would have been wrapped up for like 100 mil a year before his contract ends. Like that would have been a move that I would have expected. Haaland would be going to Spain. And I think it's really losing that appeal. And if I'm a young lad like coming through now at any of the academies in Europe, I want to be playing for a Premier League club, like anywhere in Europe, even if I'm not coming up here. Like, I have to be playing for a Premier League club the way I'm looking at football now. And I think La Liga's lost that. And especially now Messi's gone, it feels like it's absolutely in the bin.
Do you think it just needs, I mean, Abdullah's saying there, baggers, it's in the bin almost. I think it needs a bit of a reset. Because it's been the place, hasn't it? Even by, you know, I mean, it sounds a bit rich sitting here as United fans going about big spending because we've spent a lot of money ourselves. You know, you look at City, you've just gone through the roof with spending. Chelsea, you've always spent big. But with Spanish clubs, you've always had that. Going back to your Figos, your Zidanes, your Hazards more recently, your Coutinhos you mentioned earlier. Do you think it maybe needs a bit of reset? Because, you know, Spanish football's always going to have good young players coming through. So maybe it needs to shift a little bit towards that stop all this, you know, Galactico stuff.
I think Messi and Ronaldo ruined it. I think it sounds mad, but the success that they've brought and how good they were.
Yeah.
Skewed Madrid and Barca. That's what's happened, is that they've put, you've got Messi there and he's on whatever he's on, two million a week, or you know, he's taking on €1 million a week or something like that. And you can't argue with that because he's the best, potentially the best player ever.
He still scored 38 goals. People act like he's done. Do you know what I mean? He scored far more than any United player did
for Barcelona.
Yeah,
you have to understand that. But the problem is that La Liga have structured everything. They're marketing how they sell things on Messi versus Ronaldo. When Ronaldo left, things went wrong. And I think for years, you've had Real Madrid trying to find the next one after Ronaldo. They tried it with Hazard. It's not worked. Yeah. They tried it. They want Mbappe to do that. But even I think Mbappe, it's not the same thing. You're not going to do what Ronaldo did. Messi, even you've seen for years, they've been trying to sign that next one that'll maybe take it up and do the next thing for Barcelona. They've tried signing Coutinho, hoping that he'd come in. Neymar was the one. And that was how they were going to replace Messi, was they needed another name. And this way of doing it skewed everything. It means that people like Griezmann are on 800 grand a week. It's not Messi that's the problem. It's the problem that everyone below that is the issue.
Funnily enough, someone in the chat there was saying that Barcelona fans, sorry. Slogan 1876, thanks for your super chat. Someone was saying, I'm going through a load of comments here. Someone just asked about no Scotty and Motti this week. No, we'll be back soon though. Thanks, Josh, Jay, Lewis. Someone was saying Barcelona fans, Ross Murphy saying Barcelona fans are blaming Griezmann for Messi's departure. I don't necessarily think it's Griezmann, but his fault. But you look at it, was it the Champions League semi-final a few years ago? Was it semi-final, the quarter-finals, where they had Coutinho? Yeah, Griezmann, I think, and Dembele on the bench. And then you had Coutinho coming off the bench to score against Barcelona. So Barcelona had like 280 million quid or something sat on the bench, and then another 145 million quid playing against them. That is just awful.
They've been chasing to replace Messi. They've been trying to do this for years, trying to replace. And they just, what they should have done years ago, they should have just gone, right, Messi's going past this half a million a week was where they put a cap on it. He's going past that, he's got to go. Real did it relatively well with Ronaldo, where they kind of went, it's got to a point, we can't pay him any more money. We're not getting as much out of him. He has to just go. We have to move on and try and figure this out. Barca haven't done that. They've clung on to, we need to keep Messi. We have to keep Messi, keep paying him more. But it's done everything. It happened to United on a smaller scale with Sanchez, and you saw what happened with Herrera, because Herrera had that, probably does the same thing that Griezmann says. He went, well, I'm at least half the player he is. So I'm worth 300 grand a week, because if he's on 450, I'm worth 300 grand a week.
Yeah.
And them going, well, you're not really. Same with Griezmann. Well, if he's on 1.2 million, 800 grand, it's not too bad. And he ends up getting it, and it's just broken everything. I think that you have to...
It's the transfer fees,
the wages, everything's... Mad.
Coutinho, 100 million plus, Dembele in and around that. The list goes on. Like, Frenkie de Jong was probably the most sensible big transfer, in my opinion, that they've
got. But he's on 450,000 a week. Whatever, he's 21. He'd be the biggest...
The Barcelona, they don't need to be luring players in with big contracts. They don't need to be luring players in like that at all. Like, why don't you spend half of that money in building La Masia more and like expanding on?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Does it need a little bit
of a
reset?
I think, like, they've using had it before, like, the youth players, you know,
they've brought through, I mean, to a lesser degree, Guardiola did it a little bit at Barcelona, where after Icardi, more like, all right, well, I've just come from Barcelona B, I've got these young players coming through, I'm going to, you know, move on the likes eventually. I know he didn't do it straight away, but likes of Edson and Ronaldinho and focus more.
I mean, Real Madrid did that they lost the Galacticos, didn't they? Because that didn't work out. And then they gradually built up, then eventually like reset with Bayern.
I mean,
Ronaldo,
they always will have
they
big
need
transfers.
A few seasons, I think. You need a few seasons where you just focus on that next generation of young players and building the league up.
But Barca lost 487 million last year.
How'd you do that? Alpha Omega in the chat says, three beautiful specimen on display. You might need to clean your screen, son. Thank you. Thank you for spicing up my Friday afternoon. I'm worried about Rashford and his pre-Euros. And his for pre-Euros. And can we count on Martial? Kisses. Thanks, Alpha Omega. Can we count on Martial? It's a good question, because obviously... Rashford's having an op. Looks like Andy Martial still has a future at United, according to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Maybe he's going to play on the left-hand side and fill that Marcus Rashford-shaped hole. Baggers, start with you.
I think at the minute, without Cavani, he probably starts through the middle. I think unless Sancho's fit as well and you can probably work something out, I think he probably starts through the middle for the time being. Whether he risks starting Mason Greenwood, depends who then plays on the right. I just think that it starts him through the middle. I think Martial will do all right. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll get back to it. I think last season was a bit of a blip. I think he might never be the superstar, but we need to have good players around. Like you mentioned before, City had six forwards that are Martial's level at least. We need to have that kind of thing. So I don't think you can get rid of Martial. In terms of Rashford, I think we need to really not judge what he did last season in terms of towards the end of... He's had an op that he needed for 18 months, 2 years now. He's been injured for a long time. His ankle's gone as well.
If it wasn't for the fact that, you know, we need him next season, ideally, he's probably had about two or three, couldn't he? Yeah. I think his ankle.
You've had Rashford doing, you know, Rashford's been putting up them numbers without doing what he's probably best at, which is the pace and everything like that. He's not been able to run as fast as he usually has. Like that's as someone like Marcus Rashford, who's got that level, to not be able to do that has been tough on him. So I'm not worried about that. I worry about him when he's trying to get back into the team and stuff and let him build himself up. I'm not too worried about him straight away. I'm hoping we get Martial playing well because we're going to need him at the start of this season. Apart from that, I think that you probably have, I think Paul Pogba starts further forward to start the season. I think you'll have Sancho coming relatively quickly. Mason, Alanga will start as well, I think, on the left-hand side. He's been
looking good in pre-season. He looked good against Wolves as well last season. Talk MU, big up Jay. Thank you. Cough Mike, love you, Jay, mate. Love you too. PS in the Super Chat says, be less pessimistic. Players adapt to roles and McTee can do a job as DM. Is he best? No, but he's functional. Thoughts on McBeak before Rash returns? McBeak. There you go. Never mind McFred. McBeak. Like that's McBeak. Not Scottish cocaine. That's that's McTominay and Van der Meek playing, I presume, in a pivot instead of McFred. What do you reckon, Abdullah?
Yeah, I'm not too sure about like having Van der Meek in a deeper role. I think he can do that pretty well, like he can drop. We've seen that, was it the Istanbul game at home last season with Fred. I think he's all right because his pass selection is decent, like he can progress it into certain areas. He's very good when someone like, he's almost like in a bit of a tiki-taka team or like a team that's very on their possession game. I think United a bit more less than that. So I prefer having Danny just further up the pitch where he's like ghosting off the striker and getting into those dangerous areas. Almost like the goal that he got against Palace in his debut.
Yeah, he was off the striker. Yeah,
that's exactly his style. And them Champions League goals that he scored, the big ones for Ajax. Like, I prefer Donny being that sort of second man to Bruno. Or if we play two number eights, that could work with Donny. I think because he still has a level of defensive discipline as well. We've seen that at Ajax and when they went far in the Champions League. I just think United need to sort of rest Bruno more. And that will give Donny the opportunity to maybe establish himself in a couple of games and give Ollie a rethink to sort of shuffle things about. But I'm not too sure of him playing deep with McTominay.
I think if you do, you have to have less expectation of what he does for the game. If you play him in a I think this is the one thing that we've had, even with Pogba playing there, is we expect him to be scoring goals and all this. A lot of the time in that position, it's pick up the ball and make play it simple. And that's, if he does that for 90 minutes, that's what that player should do. Whereas when Pogba's played there, people go, well, he's not scoring goals. He's not doing this. He's not contributing. He's not doing this. And that's his first season, Paul Pogba. He played that role relatively well the entire way through. But people going, he's not done as much, has he? But in that role, you're not meant to be doing everything. You're not meant to be scoring goals. It's just, you know, keeping things simple, playing the right passes and doing all that. If Donny does play there, which I agree with you, I'd rather see him further forward. The expectation just needs to be, he needs to do a job and keep the ball simple and do better than what Fred does. That's where I think people get it wrong. If he is playing that position, he's not got to, he can't be doing everything. He's going to do a job. It's going to be a lot more simple passes. I don't want to see him there. I want to see him further forward. But you'll have, like you said, you have to rest Bruno for that to happen.
A couple of super chats as well. Ian Steele says, Barca spend 95% of their yearly revenue on wages. I was reading that. Yeah, most clubs, I think it's a lot, but it's a lot lower than that.
Leeds were in trouble when they were spending 70%.
70% was when Leeds sort of gambled, didn't they, on the Champions League money and then didn't qualify.
City are on 73%.
So 95% just doesn't work as a business model. Abhinav Verma says, sign Messi for Paddock. Messi and Ronaldo, dream pair. I'm sure Steele loved that. Fellow with the seller says, Abdul, give us a wave. Where have you been? There was a few compliments as well.
Jay's kept me locked up for a year.
We said we were going to talk about that on camera. Jesus. There's a few comments as well, Abdullah. Sorry, I should have read them out at the time, but you were talking about how well you're looking and it's great to see you back on the channel. We can all agree. So we know Messi's not coming here. I just want to talk briefly as well. I know we'll dwell on this, but we'll mention it because it's happened yesterday. So it is a talking point. And I know we're sort of covering things that aren't necessarily United related, but it was all connected, if I get all existential on us. Grealish to City. I mean, that's put the cat amongst the pigeons, hasn't it? In many ways, because for you, Abdullah, does that make you alter the way you're looking at our transfer window now? Because, you know, last week it was like, we've got Varane, we've got Sancho. We're having the best window so far of the Premier League clubs. City going by Grealish and you think, you know, or do you think, you know, City are going to City, so I'm not too concerned, if that makes sense.
I think City is one that I'm not as massively concerned, because they're just always, like you said, they're going to do what they're doing. Like, they'll always go and buy the big players. They're always going to be ahead of us like that, like in terms of having that squad quality overall. We always expected they were going to either get Grealish and Kane, or at least one of them. And they've got Grealish through the door. I don't know what's going to happen with Kane. My bigger worry is that you got like Chelsea, you can get Lukaku in. And then, you know, at the age of 28 for him, like establishing himself a bit more in, you know, in European football, and becoming one of like the top strikers on a more consistent basis, in my opinion, at Inter Milan. And if they can get him in through the door, then you've got that other problem. And I feel like City will just like at times just overbuy in a weird way. Like they've had quality players. They've had like Bernardo was absolutely flying. That, you know, before he joined them as well for Monaco and for Portugal. I remember watching him for in the Confederations Cup. I think it was like the year before the World Cup or whatever. I remember him just looking unbelievable. And I think they underused him, and then they overused certain players, and I think Sterling had a bit of a... So I think sometimes they have too much quality, and it's just like weird to find the setup. So you're always going to get something from City, and I think they're still going to leak goals here and there. Just like you said earlier in the show, like we were talking about, other teams around the league have got quality, and now you look at Aston Villa, like they're going to be better off now without Grealish because of the level of quality that they're scattering across the pitch.
But their front three could be Buendia, Ings and... Leon Bailey. That's not bad.
They got Watkins as well in the mix. Like, they're still looking to add players to that. And, you know, we've seen how transparent their owners were as well. Like, just going off topic with the whole City thing, but other teams in the league will challenge everyone. Yeah. I think United just need to just make sure every game's like a final. Like, you've got to get out with these 3 points, because the league's not easy. Every game's going to be intense. Every game's going to be difficult, and you've just got to do you.
Going into that, Jay, you said, does that affect our window? I think, look, if Grealish has gone there, I think we're kind of probably expecting that eventually. But Pep said today about, you know, there's 3 or 4 players what to go, Bernardo Silva being one of them. Like, if they lose 3 players and 3 or 4 players and only sign Grealish and Kane, so all of a sudden their squad as a whole might be a bit weaker. You may have 2 quality players come in that are probably better. If you lose 4 players and you've not got those the backup, that's why City won the league this year, because they had 6 players that you could drop out and do all that. If you lose four players, you know, that aren't
the weird thing is,
it might not work
about all this.
And Grealish might get injured, and Kane might get injured, and then it's set again.
This to me just feels like a reaction to losing the Champions League final. Like, we lost the Champions League final, right? Go out and get the 2 best available players there, no matter what. Kane, Grealish there. Well, that isn't almost the issue. We lost the Champions League final, I personally think, because Pep Guardiola's tactics are completely wrong. Do you know what I mean? He just got outwitted by Tuchel for the 3rd game in a month. So, I don't know. Whilst I get the idea of strengthening when you're strong, because United did it in 2007, we bought in, I know it's different before people go... But bought in Anderson, we bought in Nani, we bought in Owen Hargreaves, we just won the league. And people going on, did we bring in Tevez as well? We brought in Tevez as well. So you're bringing in 4 players for, like, you know, the golden boy and Anderson. Tevez, one of the best sort of young strikers in the Premier League.
He's already alone, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a 2-year loan, but obviously you're massively strengthening. Nani, again, one of the most sought after young players. And Hargreaves, who just won the Champions League,
difference with that is that we got slapped by AC Milan, like, away from home. That taught us a lesson.
And especially when we got the injuries, because you look at that game away at Milan when we lost, was it 3-0?
City were still favourites for the league comfortably.
That's what I'm saying. It's a bit of a reaction. So whilst I get the idea of strengthening when you're strong,
we still got to do
it. It does feel a little bit of a reaction.
It worries me more when Liverpool and Chelsea operate in this window in like the style of like getting Konate in alongside Van Dijk. Konate is a player who's, I know, like when we faced Leipzig, fans wouldn't have rated him because they didn't have the best of games, but he's a player that I've rated massively over the years for Leipzig. So they're getting him in. That's a partner for Van Dijk in there, a young defender. You know, you can have Henderson, Fabinho in that midfield. So they've still got a really good side. And then you got Chelsea, if they add Lukaku to a Champions League winning team and getting that consistent goal scoring. You've got Jorginho, who's just come off winning 2 European trophies, like hitting the prime of his career. You've got Kante. So those teams in around us as well, we've got to worry about, like that behind us, we've got to worry about as well, because they can nip in ahead of us. So I just think, like I said, every game has to be like a fine off Man United. It has to. It's going to be a challenge, whatever team you face that season. You can't look ahead of you all the
just
time.
Just before we get into your baggers, Peter Kelly and the Super Chats, City still under investigation by the Premier League for FFP, and now they signed Grealish for $100 million. If they get found guilty, they could be in trouble. Baggers, do you have any sort of expectation,
absolutely
hope?
Absolutely no chance.
That Manchester
else.
City are going to get found guilty or even punished by the Premier League. Here's for the financial fair play.
The thing is that the whole thing with the Super League as well. For as much as all the Premier League and everyone jumps on the back of these big six teams, it's the only thing keeping the Premier League going is how much these teams spend and what they've got in. This is why I'm a bit surprised, but by La Liga stopping Barca and not it just being a, you know, you need to not do this kind of thing, because it screws La Liga as much as it does Barcelona, because you're losing Lionel Messi from that league.
I mean, it just gets to the situation, though, the point where it's just completely untenable. Because you've got... I'm not a financial expert, so forgive me, I'm getting wrong, but you've got all these banks that are old money that just, you know, get defaulted on all the time with, like, agreeing to that. You know, you're operating on 95% of your revenue goes on wages.
It's definitely wrong.
And also, let's not forget, Barcelona have just... What did they win last season? Well, they didn't win the league, they didn't win the Champions League, did they? So no. It's not like a... You know, that keeping all these players has gotten where they need to be, or kept them where they need to be. They're not. So it does. And then you've got the Super League stuff as well going on, which, you know, is its own different story. It just seems like you do have to almost pull the plug at some point. But I understand what you're saying. I don't think City are going to get done, in answer to Peter Kelly's point. I think that no matter what, even if they are, you know, punished, it'll be something like a fine. And it'll be like, you know, oh, it's...
Here, spend more.
40 million quid, the biggest fine we've ever given out, which to City is the price of a Nathan Ake. Gorm Berner in the Super Chat says, can't wait for Aaron Wan-Bissaka to chop down Grealish. Maybe. I mean, he's very good at tackling Aaron Wan-Bissaka. He's very clean as well. He's not dirty, is he? He just times his tackles perfectly. I saw some stupidness the other week about Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I think it was Charlie Austin getting a bit giddy when he scored that goal against us in pre-season and saying, Wan-Bissaka's not a good defender. Well, he is. I mean, we've sort of touched on the main sort of transfers in and outs, but I'll ask you just quickly before we wrap up. Yes or no answer. Are we buying anyone?
Yes.
Who?
I think we'll get Trippier at the end of the window.
Trippier at the end of the window. All right, one final question. Is that enough for a title challenge?
No.
Well, that's great. Let me just go on.
That's good.
Same questions to you, Alex Bagley.
I also agree on Trippier. I think that's...
Is that our only signing?
I think we get a midfielder. I think Jesse goes.
Jesse goes, midfielder. Who's the midfielder? Go on, these are all, you know, predictions. No one's... Not ICK.
I think we get Neves or someone like that. I think we get someone for the same kind of price as what we let Jesse go for, maybe an extra 10, 15 million. I think we get one more in. I think we get one more. And I think that's...
Is that enough? For a title challenge?
It is enough. But I'd still... As long as we're up there, that for me is it. Because I still think, well, City are going to have the best squad going into next year. I think Chelsea probably still have a better team than us, even if we get them two over the line. I think... We should be up there, but you can't expect to beat them with that squad. It's not like City lose the league, things have gone wrong. That's the thing.
That'll be it, innit? It's City losing the league, innit, almost already now, innit, with the signings they've made. Yeah. It's not... Do you remember when, like, the Scousers lost it in 2014? It wasn't that City won it and that Yaya Toure scored 20 league goals from midfield. Yeah. It was that Steven Gerrard slipped and Liverpool threw it away. And I think that's already shaping up to be negative. But listen... We've been here before, you know, United won three in a row, went and got Veron and Rude and finished third. Chelsea won back-to-back titles and brought in the likes of Shevchenko and Michael Ballack and didn't win anything, and we won the double. So you can't count it out. Prince Varughese says, no CDM, no title challenge. I'll be honest, I kind of agree with that. But you never know. Stranger things have happened, and we're Manchester United. We've been through a lot worse than not signing the CDM. Get involved in the chat, let us know what you think anyway. We're going to wrap it up there. Make sure you're hitting... like, share, and subscribe. Let's get us to 600k subscribers. We're almost there. So with your support, we've had great support since we took over the channel as well. We'll get there. Abdullah, where can people find you?
AbdulGH _ on Twitter. I've got some things coming up this season.
What things?
Stuff. I'll keep that secret. You'll things. See it popping up here and there on my Twitter.
Can you just give us a little bit of a flavour? Like, is this OnlyFans? Is this... this? Football related?
It's football related. Yeah. So don't worry, we're not going down.
Right, but, no, because you are a popular guy on the channel. A lot of people, rightly, saying, you know, yeah. Abdul is back. Great to see him back. So people are going to be able to catch you on other things as well.
Hopefully, yeah. I'm trying to get something going. So before the start of the season, just some general football stuff. So it's got a bit of a busy schedule, but trying to fit in a couple here and there and jumping on here every week. And obviously you'll catch me on fan cams as well.
We'll get you back on, mate, because you've been sorely missed. And obviously now we're back at the grounds. We are going to be on fan cams again. Starting with the Everton game, I think you're going to be there, aren't you?
I'll be there.
I don't know what state you're going to be in, to be honest with you, whether you're going to be topping up on your £3 Carlin. where can people find you at Baggers?
Baggers_Alex.
Go the usual spot. Check these guys out. You know where to find me. Don't forget as well to check out the merchandise. The link's in the description. Check out everything else on the channel we've got Members area. We've got the preview coming up for the Everton game very soon with the return. Talk about Abdullah return. The return of someone else who's not been on the channel for a while. Another favourite. So make sure you're checking that out. This has been The Brew. Not Alison's Brew, he's not here, but he'll be back next week, I think. thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.